All right, KFI AM 640. Conway Show. Neil Saavedra, who is the Fork reporter, right, on the Fork Report every Saturday from 2 to 5 p.m. He did a great show out on Saturday, a week ago Saturday, for Morongo, and the Morongo Casino Resort and Spy did his live show out there. And then he went up to his mansion in Big Bear. I guess he owns like this, I don't know, 5,800 square foot, three-story mansion on the lake up there in Big Bear. And one of just, I guess, five or six properties that he owns in Southern California. And he's got a home in Aspen. He's got another one up in Lake Tahoe, Seattle, and in New York, I think. But he's with us. Neil Saavedra, how are you, bub?
Wow, man. If you just follow me around and talk me up, I would love it.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
Yeah,
hey, so did it snow? You're coming back from Big Bear. Did it snow up there?
Yeah, it might be now. There was a small percentage that it would as the temperature was dropping and there was, rain. The rain today was coming in sideways on the mountain. It was pretty interesting. But coming down the mountain, it's the first time that I've seen it. It's rained heavy there, but it's the first time that I saw so many slides, rock slides.
Oh, wow.
Massive. There was one. And, you got to love people on the mountain there. They just are always letting you know what's up. And like people coming the other direction are giving me little beeps.
Sure.
So that I know when I round the corner, there's a big old rock there. And then there was a police escort, CHP escort at one point. And then the good folks from Caltrans are busting their hump tonight on the mountain. I saw five or six trucks, and then they had the plows out there, sparks of flying, scraping the asphalt as it's moving these big old rocks off to the side of the road. And it's an interesting thing to see, when it's a different lifestyle when you start seeing how you have to react to weather on a mountain like that versus what we're used to as flatlanders, as they call it.
Yeah, my mom was a big fan of Lake Arrowhead and Big Bear. And, so she would drive us up as kids there all the time. And I didn't start driving up there until I was maybe 18 or 19. But that ride up there and that drive down always made me extremely nervous.
Well, there's three ways up the hill. And you were talking about at Morongo, when we were out for your birthday at Morongo, that's an interesting path, and it's a beautiful path, much less windy, and that's the 10, and then you kind of split through the town there and go up until you hit the 38 and go up the back way. That's a really pretty drive. And then there's another way that comes up through kind of the Antelope Valley, I think, kind of over that way up to 15 or something. And then there's the way that you go to Arrowhead, which I think is the most windy. That's the one that always makes me feel like, holy smokes.
But, to have two resorts up there like that, Lake Arrowhead and Big Bear, I've noticed that people are either one or the other. There are very few people that go 50-50. Like half the time they'll go to Big Bear, half the time they'll go to Arrowhead. There are people that go to Big Bear, and they've been going to Big Bear for 30 years, who never go to Arrowhead, and vice versa.
Well, there's even more. You've got, I think it's Green Valley up there, and Green Valley has a lake up there, totally different vibe. All of them have, because my mom went up and down with family all the time, and they went to Green Valley, I think, and there was like those, camping resorts kind of, or cabins, a bunch of cabins, and you go up there in the 50s, and
sure,
that's where you went to hang out. But there's two different vibes. The thing about Lake Arrowhead, gorgeous, really beautiful, and they have a little village that has a handful of places to go eat. If you're in the Blue Jay area around there, a buddy of mine, Chef Sam, has a place called Stone Creek Bistro, which is you got to put on the list if you're going up there. And it's a different vibe though. It's like, I think you have to be on the lake, to have access to the lake, or something. There's something with the lake where you don't have access in the same way if you're not on it or something like that. And so some, you can't just go and enjoy it, whereas you can go up to Big Bear and pull off the side of the road and enjoy the beach there on the lake, or you can get passes and what have you for putting your boat on the lake and things like that. But you can't do that as easily on Lake Arrowhead. Plus, you've got two ski resorts up there. And there's, you know, shooting range, and there's axe throwing, and there's snow play for the kids.
Yeah, I love it up there. It's got such a great vibe up there. I mean, the people up there ultimately are really cool. They're really family-oriented. And they don't, you know, they would prefer not to have a billion tourists come up there every, you know, weekend in the winter and the summer. They don't make them feel unwanted because they know that those dollars support a lot of businesses up there.
You're exactly right. That's the main thing up there. The only thing that they hate there on the hill is people that use it like their garbage can. They come up like they put trash everywhere.
Right.
But if you're respectful and they get that that's part of the economy, they're very kind to help you out, you know, in any situation. A lot of honking and lights to let you know certain things are going on. It's really weird. It's a whole different language. Like going to New York, you can tell when the horn means F you versus right. Hi, how are you?
Right.
It's pretty interesting. But they do move at a different speed, and they're very much like live and let live. It's pretty cool up there.
And where is your place? You have a place in Big Bear, right?
Yeah. You know what's funny? My wife and I, in 2018 and 2019, started planning... what? In 2018 to 2019, we started planning on, a couple of things we wanted to do, and we wanted to get a property up there for some vacationing because we live really close to the city, and we wanted Max, our son, to be able to see different areas and to rent. And the pandemic hit, we kind of started pulling the reins on come up a couple of our projects, and then we said, screw it, put money into the economy, do what we had planned. We planned it out for a reason, and so we did that this year.
How old is the house that you bought, you and your wife?
It's 1971.
Oh, which is not bad.
Super new.
Yeah.
Super new considering our actual home was built in 1912.
Well, you know the old saying, the only thing that works in an old house is you.
Is that one of those sayings like, if I don't see you through the week, you will sweat in the tunnel?
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a Gary and Shannon saying that they have.
Yeah, but there's a lot of not knowing.
Are you on the lake or are you on the closer to the mountain?
No. We're in the mountains, but we're very close. We're close to everything, there. But there's a cool little, there's different little enclaves there. There's
that village is beautiful. The Big Bear Village, they spend a lot of time putting, you know, flowers and little bushes and trees and foliage around there. Really beautiful.
Stunning. And then they have these fire pits with these cages on them that are just public out there that you can go sit and get warm, and during the holidays they go nuts with that. During this time of the year, you can go trick-or-treating on Halloween. They've got a massive Oktoberfest going on right now.
But you know, but when my wife and I were up there, we went to a couple of restaurants, and we noticed that both nights we went, one was an Italian restaurant, the other one was just burgers and stuff. The food was exceptional both times, and I asked the chef there. I said, "Man, this is like a 5-star restaurant in L.A. Everything up here is great." And his comment to me was, "Wealthy people don't eat crap."
Yeah,
and that makes sense, right?
They've gone back and forth with some of the food scene there, but they are working hard to make it great, and I've had some really good meals up there, and there are some people. You go to certain, like Fawn Skin, I think is owned by Shirley Jones from the Park. Yeah, Shirley Jones, yeah. I think owns a massive part of that, and then you go into the really high-end stuff in Boulder Bay. That is not where we are, despite your your luxurious introduction.
Yeah, we went to Shirley Jones' restaurant, and then we went to Danny Bonaducci's pot store.
That's great.
I don't think he has one. Just kidding. Yeah. But the whole Partridge vibe up there is pretty cool. Buddy, that's great. So do you have it in shape now where you can rent it out and you can hang there? Have you done all the remodeling you need to do?
We're getting there. There's a couple of things that need to be, I'm doing a lot of it myself because everyone's busy up there.
Right.
It's really hard to find people to do it. So I've been going up and doing it myself, but it's all a Sasquatch theme.
Oh, and you had a big a Yeti, a big Bigfoot delivered to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did I say that? How'd you know that?
You sent me a picture.
Oh, did I really?
Yeah. Remember when you were buzzed Sunday night? It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. You were telling me how much you made and how you don't like some people in management and that you prefer to, you start your own radio network and. You know, the Jesus Christ show is dragging you down and you're not really interested in food anymore.
You know what? That Jesus Christ show and my wife are the biggest cramps of my style. I'll tell you that right now. And two, don't get me started on management. You say some people, why don't you line them all up? All bad news. All of them. Don't get me started on Greg Ashlaw. Man, that guy.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
He's on the list.
Buddy, I would love. Now, are you going to rent your place out? Can people rent it out?
Eventually, yeah. We hope to. We have a company that does all that, though. We found a company company that we like, and they'll handle all that, change the sheets, clean the place, and make sure everybody's taken care of. But it will be, yeah. There's
a bunch of Yeti things
in there.
That's a smart way to go. Anytime you have property management, it's worth every dime you pay them.
Oh yeah, 30%.
Yep, absolutely every dime.
Okay.
Because
it kind of tingles my sphincter a little bit. That thing's like every dime, that seems like a lot to me, 30%.
No.
Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, 30 is beautiful.
But I want people to have a good time. And I don't want any schmoes up there. I just want people to go and have a good time and enjoy it the same way we would.
Yeah. Buddy, appreciate you calling. And we'll see you back at the station and then at the big Yeti party.
You got it, pal.
All right. Thanks, Bob. That guy's great. That's Neil Saavedra. He's the Fork Reporter, and his show is called The Fork Report. And then he also has he's loosely affiliated with the Jesus Christ Show.
Hello.
Yeah, that's really cool. He's got a house up in Big Bear. Can you imagine how cool that'd be? Like you're going up to Big Bear to do work on your house.
I was talking to him about that at Morongo and all the work that he's been having to put in since he got the thing.
He does it himself, too.
Yeah, most of it. Yeah. It's like he's all of his tools that he has here are now all up there.
Oh, that's cool, right?
I guess, unless you need a tool when you're down here.
Yeah, that's kind of neat, though. And it's nice to have a place where, you know, when you're busy, the wife and daughter or wife and son can go up there maybe on a weekend and give them some space, you know.
Yeah. He showed me some of the pictures from the place. Beautiful. It's just that area, and the house is really cute, and everything he's done to it. It's really, really cool. And 30%, that just seems really high.
No, he was lying. It's like 5 or 10%.
Yeah, the one that my dad had a bunch of properties in Florida, so he had managers take care of all that stuff. And so when he passed away, I got into all that paperwork, and I was like, 20%? Woof.
We should rent it and have a rager there, right?
That would be awesome. We have our own EDC.
Yes.
What was the thing you said the first time?
But it's the concert? No, but with if Crozier and I go, it'll be the ED festival.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking about Electric Daisy. I'm talking about guys whose wieners don't work.
Hey.
Oh, what? I thought you said yours like the ED festival.
You thought I said that?
I thought that's what you meant.
So it's not just your that's not working? It's your ears too?
It's the Blue Pill Crew.
The Blue Pill Crew. The BPC.
Guys. It's
just me and Crozier popping blue pills for the weekend.
Hey, what are you going to do? Clearly nothing. You're the only other person here.
Hey, let's put a blindfold on that Yeti. See if we can attack him. All right. Let's everybody calm down. KFI AM 640. It's Conway Show. If you're a Kings fan and you recorded the game tonight, I'll give you 5 seconds to turn the radio down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Kings got shut out by St. Louis, so they're 1-4-1 and they've been officially eliminated from playoffs. God, that seems early. You know, 1-4-1. Yeah, they've officially eliminated from playoffs.
That's amazing.
Seems like early, huh?
That was quick.
Yeah. Well, we'll get them next year, boys. Right? What the hell? All right. No, the Kings are still in it, but it's early in the season. But it's not going well, right? They won their home opener, and then they've not won a game since. So, got to put some life back in this team. I think they need me around. I think if I was in the locker room, I could pump these guys up. Get out there, you know, give them a couple of ding dongs.
Come on, boys, ding dong.
Right. Get out there and score more than you let up. Right? That kind of advice. I think I could do that.
You know what we need, fellas? More goals.
Yeah, a win.
More goals. Right.
Christmas trees. Have you seen this? Christmas tree lots are already popping up. There's
No.
Have you seen that, Belly?
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
I love it.
Yeah, that
bring it.
The outlets near the Commerce Casino. What are those called? That old tire factory.
Citadel.
Ding dong. They already have their Christmas tree. Their Christmas tree went up this weekend or last week. So they already have their Christmas tree. So if you want to take the kids out and see a huge ass tree, Citadel, where the 5 and the 710 run into each other right there. Just a little bit south of that. But Christmas trees. Big deal.
It's starting to look a little like Christmas at the Grove today. Yeah. A large Christmas tree arrived at the Fairfax District Shopping Center today. The white fir is from Mount Shasta, and it's more than 100 feet tall. Now, you know, it's not very fluffy yet, but don't you worry. They adorn it with more than 10,000 ornaments and 15,000 sparkling lights. It's such a beautiful sight to see.
Yeah, it really is, ma'am.
Beautiful sight to see.
It is, I tell you.
Beautiful sight to see.
All right. There was also, you know, the container ships. They're still parked off the coast because, you know, there's a billion reasons why. Everyone has their own theory. But they might get help from the National Guard.
Well, Governor Newsom is taking a long-term approach to fixing California's and the country's supply chain crisis. Today, he signed an executive order demanding state agencies now develop long-term proposals supporting ports for the governor's next budget.
Wow.
Newsom in a statement said California's ports are critical for local, state, and national and global economies.
Did you know that 40% of everything imported to the United States goes through Long Beach and Los Angeles?
I did know that.
That's a lot of crap, right? 40%. 2 out of every 5 items purchased in the United States goes through either San Pedro or Long Beach.
I think most of that stuff's for my daughter, by the way.
Yeah, my family likes that stuff too, right? I think we bought probably 2 or 3 containers full.
And the ports need to be brought into the 21st century. The White House, which brokered a deal to have the port...
How about the 20th century? Let's throw with that.
The White House, which brokered a deal to have the port of L.A. operate 24-7, is now looking into deploying the National Guard to ease that crisis.
Wow. What will the National Guard do, though? I don't know. We'll find out. KFI AM 640. Conway Show. Belly during the break just gave me this story here. A hiker was lost on a Colorado mountain for more than 24 hours, and they ignored calls from search and rescue because they didn't recognize the phone number. The hiker was reported missing to Lake County Search and Rescue around 8 p.m. on October 18th after they failed to return from their morning hike on Mount Elbert. So search and rescue, they were informed that the hiker had begun at the South Trailhead at 9 a.m. that morning, but hadn't returned to base camp over 11 hours later. And then the team then called the hiker several times to locate them, but they never got a hold of him. Rescue team spent the evening searching for the missing man and continued the search throughout the next day, only to learn that the hiker, who was completely unaware anyone was looking for him, had returned home safely at 9:30 that morning on October 19th. Unbelievable. These guys are risking their lives looking for a guy who didn't need rescuing and then didn't return the phone calls or pick up because he thought it was a robocall.
Did they not leave a message?
I don't know. Maybe he didn't check it, right? Like, I never check my messages. I bet I have messages here from people who...
And that is true. I can attest to that.
I have 4 messages I haven't picked up here.
But,
one of them's from a bookie. I think I just got to make a call.
What does he mean? Money? Why do I owe him money? Oh, what? I make a couple bad calls on football, and then all of a sudden I owe him money? Get out of here. I found a really good restaurant over the weekend that I'd like to tell you about. And I guess people in Santa Monica and Culver City are familiar with this restaurant. I was not. But it's called Holy Cow Barbecue. Have you heard of anybody heard of that? No. Holy Cow?
No.
The ribs are the best ribs I've had since the 1970s when we used to go to Love's. Holy Cow is unbelievable. There's one in Santa Monica. There's one in the West Side. And then there's one in Culver City as well. A little pricey, right? But you get what you pay for. And it's the ribs and the chicken are unbelievable. I mean, second to none. The best, I'm telling you. I'm going to look up and see how much these ribs are. Let's see. Then we'll try to guess. We'll do a whip around.
And what was the name of this place?
Holy Cow.
That's the name of the place?
Yeah. It's called Holy Cow. Let's see. All right. Okay. Here's the barbecue plate. Let's see how much these ribbers are here. All right. Pulled pork, pulled chicken, baby back. Here we go. Ding dong. Okay. How much is let's do a whip around here. All right. A whip around at Holy Cow. Well worth it. I'm not getting down on them for the price, but what do you think a full rack of rib costs? Full rack of baby back ribs at Holy Cow. Crow!
$35.
No! Zach Rial.
$56.
That's wrong. How about Angel Martinez? You still with us, Angel? Or is she split?
I am, yeah.
A whole full rack of ribs.
Let's go $60.
$60? No! Bellio.
$25.95.
Oh, you're very close. $29.95.
Whoa.
Yeah. I thought that was high. I guess you guys didn't. Now, Angel will shell out $60 for ribs. That's kind of cool.
No, you were just saying how expensive it was. So I was thinking, okay, what's really expensive for ribs?
I get it. You know what? It's worth every dime. Those baby back ribs. Look, they're not an advertiser. We're not plugging away here. But I had them, and they're not fatty. The barbecue sauce and the way they smoke them is perfect. They fall off the bone, and you can eat an entire rack and want to go back for another rack.
What's the sauce? Is it vinegar-based or sugar-based?
I'm not sure, but I think it's probably more vinegary than sweet.
Yeah.
But, man, it's called Holy Cow. You know, like, just think of, I don't know, who is that, the announcer with the Cubs? Harry Carey? Yeah, Holy Cow!
Hey, everybody!
Holy Cow!
Welcome to Holy Cow! Get your moo's worth!
How'd you find Holy Cow?
Somebody brought him to a party about, I don't know, 2 months ago. At Mark Verge, a friend of mine, who has a lot more money than I do.
He can afford the ribs.
Yeah, he's got a beach house, too. Somebody brought a rack of them from Holy Cow, and I had them there, and then I went recently back and attacked the restaurant and got some there. But they also have crispy, they call them crispy nugs.
Oh.
They're chicken nuggets. Unbelievable.
So the kind of attack that you gave this restaurant is a good attack.
Yes.
It's not the type of attack.
That's right.
Where you know, you're getting gift cards or you know, cards for your birthday or the holiday sent to you.
That's right.
So there are good attacks.
Right. They're good.
We made it seem like all attacks.
No, there's some really decent attacks out there. But if you got the crispy nugs, they come with either buffalo, barbecue, Nashville, Alabama, or ranch.
I know.
So, man, Holy Cow's in the place, and it is sensational. Somebody's doing something right there. They got holy fries. They got corn on the cob, sweet baked potatoes, loaded taters. I don't know how long that restaurant's been around, but, man, we got to order some ribs from them and have them delivered to the program. I'll pay for it, right? I got to pay for everything around here. KFI AM 640. It's Conway Show. George Norrie is coming up next. George, what's working on that big show of yours, bub?
As we get the week underway, we're going to talk about how nightmares might not be as bad as people think. And then later on, travelers who experience paranormal things when they visit places on coast to coast.
And St. Louis just shut out the Kings, beat them 2 times in a row, which sucks.
They are now 5-0.
Yeah, that St. Louis is a real deal this year. And then Ghost to Ghost is Friday.
Friday night, my friend.
Wow, man, it seems like just 2 months ago you're doing Ghost to Ghost.
And then next week, we're into November already. Can
yeah,
you believe-
isn't that crazy? Unbelievable. All right, I'll be listening. Thanks, man.
All right, bye.
All right, there he goes. George Norrie and Coast to Coast. The big, scary Halloween show is Friday this year. Ghost to Ghost. All right? Like Coast to Coast, but with ghosts. Whatever. I like it. All right, a flight made an emergency land. You hear about this thing?
An American Airlines flight headed from JFK to Los Angeles made an emergency landing this afternoon in Wisconsin.
Wow.
An official at the airport in Madison says that Airbus 321 landed without incident after reports of smoke in the cabin. There were 190 people on board. No one was hurt. A different plane was arranged to take those passengers the rest of the way to Los Angeles.
Oh, maybe some guy with the e-cigarette, right? He's huffing and puffing and plane had to land. All right, Dave Chappelle is offering to meet with the transgender Netflix employees and find out if they can come to some kind of agreement here, huh?
Comedian Dave Chappelle says he's willing to meet with the transgendered employees at Netflix who are upset about his special, but he does have a few conditions. Now, those protests erupting outside of Netflix offices and studios last week over the airing of The Closer, which some say is transphobic and harmful. In a new stand-up video, Chappelle told the audience don't blame the LGBTQ plus community for the uproar, claiming the situation is about corporate interests. He said before he sits down with the transgendered employees, they must watch his Closer special from start to finish, come to a place of his choosing, and don't expect him to bend to anyone's demands.
Wow. That guy's got balls, man. Those are some demands. He's like, yeah, you're going to fly to meet me. I'll pick the place, and I'm not going to make any changes.
Jeez.
Ever.
Yeah, you can talk to me.
Wow.
I ain't listening.
Wow. He said, again, here are his demands.
He said before he sits down with the transgendered employees, they must watch his Closer special.
All right, they got to watch the whole thing.
From start to finish, come to a place of his choosing.
Which will probably be in Ohio where he lives.
And don't expect him to bend to anyone's demands.
Why get on the plane, right? Sounds like that's a done deal. Man, oh man.
It's interesting because he's calling their bluff.
Yeah.
I mean, they're saying that they just want to talk.
Right. But can you imagine having that kind of money and having that kind of power where you're like, yeah, I'll meet with you guys, but I'm not going to make any changes, right? That is some power. God almighty. I don't got that. Tell you that. I'd like to have a taste of that. Nothing like that, man.
Slice of that power pie.
No kidding. All right. Disneyland has upped their prices here.
When the pandemic hit last year, the happiest place on earth soon became one of the quietest. Disneyland was closed for more than a year and officially discontinued sales of its annual passes, a popular option for fans of the parks. The fate of those season tickets has been a mystery until today.
Oh, the mystery is unfolding here. What's going on?
Disney found out over the last few months just how important the regular returning customer is.
David Koenig is the author of 3 books about Disney theme parks. And when the company this afternoon unveiled its latest version of the annual pass called the Magic Key, Koenig pointed out a big difference from the previous annual passes.
Yeah, the Magic Key comes with a lot of restrictions. You have to make a reservation. And the other one with the pass, I think you just walked in. You know, you take your kids, go to Disneyland, just walk in. Now you got to make a reservation, and there's a lot of reservations that aren't available.
All holders must now make reservations ahead of time.
Yep, see, I was on to something, man. I'm telling you the truth. I'm speaking truth.
To get into the 2 Disney parks.
But if problems happen because the park starts filling up prematurely and people get frustrated that they're never able to use their pass because it's always full, then there may be some pushback.
There are 4 different pricing tiers. The most expensive, the Dream Key, tops out just under $1,400 for the year.
Wow, $1,400. How many times you got to go, though?
Man.
You got to go at least 10 times to make that worthwhile. Huh?
It saddens me.
Well, did you ever have passes? You ever have
I used to, and this really? Is exactly the reason why I don't anymore.
When did you have one? When Sydney was
I had them right when California Adventure first opened up. I had them for, two or three years maybe prior to that.
Was that around like a couple $100 a year?
And you want to say, yeah, $300-$400 or something like that.
And you go whenever you want?
And go wherever you want. And then California Adventure opened up, and that was pretty much the last day of my season pass.
Really?
Yeah, I said, nah, I'm good. Mm. I don't need to keep paying more and more money because I saw it coming. This to me is just, I don't know. This is gross to me. I hate this so much.
Yeah.
This is exactly why I don't like going to Disneyland.
Mm. The Dream Key tops out just under $1,400 for the year.
For one ticket, right? For one person?
Yeah. For each one, yeah.
Wow. If you had a family of, like, you have four kids and your wife or husband or a bed partner, then that's, let me see, I have four kids. 4,600, 6,676, and $8,400. $8,400 for a family of four.
Woo!
For 1 year.
Woo!
The least expensive, the Imagine Key.
Yeah, the Imagine Key is the least expensive. It's 9 cents. And you're allowed to drive down the 5 freeway and point out the Matterhorn to your kids.
Costs $399 and is only available to local residents.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right, the locals, right? Are we local or is it you have to live in Anaheim?
I think we're local. Yeah.
The prices actually a bit cheaper now.
The passes prices have actually slightly retreated to their 2019 instead of their 2020 levels.
Now, if you're looking to buy a Magic Key.
Okay.
Well, you're going to be waiting a few weeks.
Oh, no. Why?
They go on sale starting August 25th.
What?
They go on sale starting August 25th.
A few weeks.
Wait, huh?
August 25th. I'm looking at a calendar. I'm looking at more than a couple of weeks. August 25th. I think that's wrong. I don't know. Whatever. But how often did you go when you had season passes?
I'd say over the course of the year, I went on average once a month. So maybe a little less than that, maybe 10 to 12 times probably total.
What's nice about having a pass is that you don't feel like if it's too crowded or raining or too hot, whatever, you can just leave.
Yeah, you can. We would go there sometimes like for lunch, you know, just kind of do a little quick back and forth,
sit
for a couple hours. Yeah, and it just,
City
and
what are
a lot of people talking about too is like since they've opened back up and now it's on this reservation, you know, all the rides are on reservations. They're saying that people, it's always sold out. They can't, they bought an annual pass, but they can't get any days locked in to actually go because they're always sold out.
Yeah, I don't like the reservation.
And I don't know how they can do it. I mean, how many times do people make reservations and never fulfill the reservation?
Right. But your daughter must have loved it.
She did.
Be able to go that often?
Yeah, she did. She did. And her mom kept up the season pass for her long after I was done with it.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So her mom's a big Disney file, so yeah, she'd come out here.
Is she a big Disney fan, your daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
pass didn't burn her out?
No, she went I want to say she went a month or two ago, so yeah.
Yeah.
She's still going with her friends and stuff, which I love.
I think it's been 2 or 3 years since I've been there. Maybe more?
Really?
Right? So I've been in Disneyland, like walking around. Well, maybe our last Christmas party, I was there. But, man, I love that park.
Yeah, last time I went was California Adventure, and that was for a Disney or for a KFI thing or iHeart thing.
When you walk into Disneyland and you walk under the train track in that tunnel and you see Main Street, it always takes you back to second, third grade, you know, when you first see it. Really cool.
Yeah?
Especially if they've got a theme going, like Halloween or Christmas or whatever.
I do like their themes. Yeah.
They do it right, man.
I the first time I went, I was like 25.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was from the East Coast. Although I lived in Florida for first.
And you never went to Disney World.
I've still never been to Disney World.
That's crazy.
Yeah, thanks, Dad.
All right, we're live on KFI AM 640.